Mark Haywood is editor of Maverick Citizen at the Daily Maverick and penned a very strong editorial today about pharmaceutical companies and their profits. Mark, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, John. Thank you for having me.
The numbers are huge, and these are numbers where JSE, they're not listed on the JSE, but stock exchange listed pharmaceutical companies are giving guidance to the market and saying this is what we expect our profits to be in the next 6 months and in the next year, and they are expecting, all of those who are reporting in this way, significantly increased profits, primarily as a result of vaccines.
Exactly. Let me start by saying this. Big Pharma, as you correctly called them, were immensely powerful, immensely rich, immensely profitable companies before COVID came along. COVID has ironically presented, whilst it's presented much of the world with a disaster, a catastrophe, it's presented them with a windfall. And particularly through the vaccines, they are now making profits in the billions and billions and billions of dollars, and they stand to continue making those profits, John. And I think there are a number of problems with that. One is that they're making profits through price gouging. They're selling vaccines at prices that are vastly higher than the research and development costs that have actually gone into them. But secondly, because they have to protect that profitability and protect those markets, particularly developed country markets, they're not willing to share the intellectual property or the technology, or to transfer the technology that would make it possible for vaccines to become more accessible in poor countries in the world. So it's not just a question of obscene profits. There's a consequence in lives and in public health that comes from this type of behavior.
AstraZeneca is the only company that I'm aware of that has made a commitment to supply vaccines at the production cost to That's countries right. in the developed world. And Merck, with this new pill that they have developed as an anti-COVID treatment, have made the same promise. To what extent that's being carried out in the case of AstraZeneca and will be in the case of Merck, I'm not sure. But you come at this from an interesting angle, because you were very involved when we were fighting for decent antiretroviral treatment for South Africans with HIV and AIDS, fighting on two fronts, the sort of Mbeki political front and then the Big Pharma front. And it did prove possible after a lot of incredibly hard work by people like yourself to get that intellectual capital regime changed for these drugs and make it possible for, just about every South African who has HIV and AIDS to get life-saving treatment at not exaggerated prices.
That's right. I mean, exactly the same happened, as you say, with antiretroviral drugs as is now happening with COVID-19 vaccines. When the efficacy and safety of those drugs was first established, probably in the kind of late, mid-1990s, in South Africa, the course of those medicines cost in the region of 5,000 rand a month. In fact, I was with Edwin Cameron the day he took his first antiretroviral medicines, and that was what he was paying, 4,000 to 5,000 rand a month. And the pharmaceutical companies argued at that time that that was a sort of no-profit price for developing countries. And we investigated those claims with assistance from researchers all over the world, with assistance from medical scientists and clinicians, and we found that it just wasn't true. And, today, John, antiretroviral medicines, the same antiretroviral medicines, are sold for, a few hundred rand a month. And the result is that there are 35 million people across the world who are living today, whose lives have been saved because they have access to these medicines. But, my experience was with HIV and now with COVID. But the tragedy is that this is a pattern that extends across all diseases, all disease groups, all medicines, where, the cost of the development of the medicines has no relationship to the cost at which they are put onto the market. And cancer medicines is another case in point. You know, we are going to have a doubling of the cancer burden in South Africa by 2030. Nobody's talking about it at the moment, but cancer is growing almost exponentially. But unless you are a rich person in the private healthcare sector, you can't afford the best medicines that are available that make cancer curable and treatable in the world today, and consequently, you will probably die.
Yeah, and I happened to be on holiday recently and spent a couple of days in the company of a stranger who became an acquaintance, who's a radiation oncologist based in the US, and I don't think I've ever seen anybody as angry as he was about this, about how many life-saving, life-prolonging treatments are available medically but not financially. So what do we do? How do we change this? How do we take the success of the HIV/AIDS intellectual capital situation and translate it into the oncology world, into the COVID vaccine world, and other treatments that are life-saving but not affordable?
Well, it depends on me and you, John, and a million other people to speak out against this. A lot of what made them change in the early 2000s was because they were shamed. We made it clear that their behavior was uncivil and immoral, and we actually called out some of the bosses, some of the CEOs of companies like GlaxoSmithKline in South Africa. It wasn't a nice thing to do, you know, to call somebody an AIDS profiteer or a murderer, but that's ultimately what it does. So that's one thing, is people have to speak up. The second thing I'll say quickly is that people have to understand that the reasons given as to why these medicines are expensive are not true. Most of the research and development that has gone into COVID vaccines is money that has been funded by the taxpayer, and the research, as you mentioned, AstraZeneca, has been taken place at university and at universities and has built upon prior knowledge. Now, the reasons we could get COVID vaccines so quickly wasn't because it was just a miracle that we got it in a year. It was because there was a decade of research on coronavirus viruses going on that made that vaccine development possible. So we have to understand the actual processes so we can counter the arguments. And the last thing that I would say is that governments have to use their power. You know, in South Africa, health is a right. And what the South African government did, albeit under pressure from the Treatment Action Campaign, was that it said, okay, we are going to exercise our constitutional rights to issue generic licenses to generic companies to produce these medicines unless you produce them at a price which is affordable to ordinary people. So the truth of the matter is that we have quite a lot in our armory. The problem is that our governments are intimidated by these companies, by saber-rattling threats of disinvestment, threats we won't provide you with the vaccines if you don't accept the prices that we offer them at. We have to call their bluff, basically, and shame them and tell the truth as we do so.
Yeah, so I mean, we don't know how much we paid for vaccines. We have a general idea, but we don't have the specific idea that we would be able to have if government had shared that information with us. And they tell us they can't share that information with us because it is part of the purchase agreements.
That's
with
right.
The we were told the Moderna was too expensive, but we don't know what J&J is costing us. We don't know what Pfizer is costing us. So we don't know. Although people who are skilled at digging into rows of figures will eventually be able to tell us, well, so much of the Department of Health's budget was spent on vaccines, which means that amount of money is not there for TB, and that amount of money is not there for cancer, that amount of money is not there for the diuretic, that people get from living in informal settlements where the water quality isn't great, you know. So,
you've hit the nail on the head. That's exactly what it means. And my guess is that we are going to be buying COVID vaccines probably for the next 5 years, because all the scientists agree that COVID will become an endemic virus, a bit like flu, that will need boosters, that will need vaccine modification to maintain vaccine efficacy. And it's a very dangerous virus, as you and I know, John. I mean, I've written an article today in the Daily Maverick, which gives the real number of deaths for COVID in our country in the last
250,000 plus.
260,000 and counting.
Yeah.
So there's no doubt that we need these medicines. We can't downplay it and say, well, actually, let's just not get the medicines. We need the medicines, but we need the medicines at a price that is affordable, that doesn't detract from what we need to invest in other diseases, et cetera, et cetera.
Mark, thank you very much indeed for chatting to us. Mark Haywood, editor of Maverick Citizen. That editorial, which we were discussing, is on the Daily Maverick's website at the moment.